B-Pod Studios.
Who's killing it at the NFL Network and talk a little football. That's right, Mike Garofalo, South Philadelphia's own, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Michael.
Did I shot fall yet?
Dude, I got to tell you, I'm so bummed over this Sixer thing. Did you, you still carry that with you? You know, not so much Eagles, but like the Flyers, the Sixers. Like you know, you still have that Philadelphia badge that you wear.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not as Sixered up as you are.
I know.
I don't know. Yeah, listen. Yeah.
You don't care.
You know,
I know.
It's not that I don't care. It's that, the NBA is all this stuff leading up to, oh, who won it? Yeah, we knew. We figured that out back in October.
Oh, man, don't be ripping the NBA, Mike!
Hey, are Warriors still in? Warriors still in it? They are? You kidding me? The Warriors are still in it.
Yeah, but guess what, though? They almost didn't. I mean, it was, let's face it, right? That was almost a huge upset by the Rockets.
I hear you. Listen, everybody was, I felt the air come out of my timeline on Sunday when that happened. I felt bad. My sister worked the game. She was rooting for them because she wanted four more games or three more games or however many more games it was going to be. I felt bad.
I know your sister's down. I love your sister. Yeah.
There you go.
I know. Your sister's married to my cousin. That's where we're connected. Anyway.
People don't know. When I walked in years ago and saw you at our place of former employment, you didn't know who I was. I didn't get the job because of you. No nepotism here.
No. Well, you were a little rat at Johnson's Field. You're younger than me, so you were like a little rat scurrying around Johnson's Field.
Two things. What, you pointed at me and said, "Who are you?" Because I think you knew right away. You had a feeling we stick out like sore thumbs.
I know.
The other thing is, if you want to redirect your passion towards something, how about the St. Louis Blues now? Because we got our buddies at Jack's NY. Jack's NYB. If you haven't seen this story, go check that one out.
We had a bunch of guys from the Jack's call yesterday. We talked
there you
about.
Go. See? Yeah, I knew you were in on it. There you go.
Oh, come on, you know
go
that.
Blue.
So I need to get my mind off this Sixer thing, and I want to talk a little birds with you. So, how would you characterize the roster right now? Howie had a very busy off season. How do you look at this roster?
Deep, experienced. We'll see which way it goes because they're always. He's always wheeling and dealing during training camp, or at least open to wheeling and dealing during training camp. So there may be some minor tweaks here and there, but I go back to the Chris Long thing where he said, "Boy, I'd love to have my same role. Let me come back and have my same role." And it was communicated to him that you're really not going to have the same role. You know, that speaks to the depth that they have at that spot all along the line. You're able to get Zach Brown at this point of the process. You don't usually bring in guys at this point who are going to wind up being starters. And they got the depth in the secondary, and then you add a bunch of picks and free agents on the offensive
quick,
side of the ball.
Real quick, just because you brought it up, the depth in the secondary is tremendous. I mean, when you look at that secondary.
Oh. Yeah, and a big part of that was getting Ronald Darby back.
I know, I love Darby.
Yeah, and there were other teams bidding on him, both short-term deals, long-term deals. There was a number of ways that he could have gone. Honestly, I thought he was going to be gone. Like, there was one point during the process that they're going to lose him. He's just going to go somewhere else and sign a multi-year deal. And they had talked to the Eagles about a long-term deal as well. So for him to come back, that was huge because now you got guys like, Avante Maddox who flashed for you last year. You know, they don't have to play these bigger roles, and you continue to bring those kinds of guys along. And they got a bunch of guys who wound up playing down the stretch in the secondary. So, you ask me how I look at the roster, and what I see depth in a number of places. Really.
Yeah, I do too, and it's funny because it's always all going to be about Carson, and we're talking to Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. And what are you hearing health-wise? What's your Carson forecast?
I think you're going to wind up seeing, now listen, freak stuff notwithstanding, I think you're going to see an extremely healthy Wentz because, you know, in a sense, he wasn't really able to get in full football shape last year because he was rehabbing the knee. So, you know, that affects you in other areas. And, you know, to this day, Ant, I mean, you can't, it's a guessing game. I've got some people who say that the back had nothing to do with the knee. I've got other people who say the back absolutely had something to do with the knee because you're compensating and it just affects your mechanics and everything you're doing. You're never going to get a straight answer on that one, but you know, look, that may have had something to do with it. Well, now you've got a full off season where you can take your time and listen. I mean, they were straddling that line between taking their time and allowing him to hit the accelerator because they knew what it meant to him to be out there as soon as possible. They didn't want him out there for week one because the research said if you come back X number of weeks or months after whatever, well, then 2 weeks later when he winds up coming back, it's like, well, you know, by the book, it's you're past that threshold or whatever. Oh, right. Only 2 weeks. I mean, maybe you should have taken a little more time there. What was the rush there? I don't know. This is all stuff that we're never going to know the answer to, but everything I'm hearing is arrows pointing up in a number of areas, and they really think that given the full off season, that you're going to see the healthiest Wentz you've seen in a while.
All right, so this is something I got to ask you because so when we're talking about Wentz and we're looking at last year, and the numbers were fine. Now, mm-hmm. if you watched him, and you do, and you see him, and you watch the tape, he was a completely different quarterback. He was not the quarterback before mm-hmm. he got hurt 2 years ago. He missed guys. He wasn't accurate. He settled a lot for easy throws over the middle to Ertz. Now, do you just cook that up to injury? Because, like, to me, what I saw up until the Rams game where he gets hurt, that's, to me, the real Carson Wentz. That's the Wentz that it can be a top-five quarterback, right? That's the real Wentz, not last year, right?
Right, in 17 you're talking about. Yeah, listen, I mean, we did a feature on him before last season about his comeback and everything he was doing with the community, all this stuff, and with the food truck. And it's one of the things that he said was, you know, he wants to get back to that feeling of looseness where it was just coming to him so naturally and so easy. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact word, but the flow was there. The flow wasn't there last year. I mean, you know, you can see that. I mean, it wasn't the same guy. I know what you're saying.
Not at all.
You look at the numbers. You're looking at the numbers, and even Doug Peterson, to a point, was saying, well, offensively, everything was where it was the year before, except for, I forget what it was, red zone or third down, something.
Right.
There was one stat that just wasn't the same stat, or I can't remember what it was. But you got to remember something. Everybody else around the league, their numbers were up as well. So you're watching everything around the league, and Kansas City's clicking left and right, and all these other offenses, the Rams, up until the Super Bowl, all these teams, all these offenses are clicking, and the Eagles had that kind of sputter to them. I mean, it was the eye test that he really didn't pass.
Exactly.
So your question was,
which the real Wentz?
Listen, the real Wentz is 17. There's no question in my mind that you don't display that, then it disappears and never comes back.
Exactly. Like that's all I really want to know because to be the true. That's the kid, right? The kid's got a great arm, can make throws, is accurate.
Okay, and I'm going to give – so you ask me how much is it because of the knee. How much? It's a little knee, and it's also a little – they got different looks from defenses who had the entire offseason to scout how they wanted to defend these RPOs and all these other things. The offense coordinator and quarterback coach change over at both of those positions. And the fact that because of the knee, he wasn't taking team drills for most of the offseason – all that stuff kind of factors in. I mean, I think that
– yeah, rhythm on the offense, yeah.
We all got lulled into the sense of, don't worry, he'll get back out there. He'll pick up that rhythm where he left off. No, I think he built that rhythm from year one to year two, really hit his stride. The entire offense hit their stride, and it was tough getting that rhythm back. So it's like all those factors. Well, now you can look at all those areas and say, all right, the knee's better. He's going to get the time this offseason, and now the Eagles are going to have a chance to adjust to what the adjustments were offensively. So arrows got to be pointing up in all those areas.
I would think. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yeah, it's funny. Do you buy, and again, this is just my own read. I look at those RPOs. He didn't like the RPOs, running all those RPOs. That was a Nick Foles offense that he ran last year.
Last year, you're talking about?
In 17, they didn't, up until he gets hurt, they didn't run the RPOs like that.
So it's funny because you say that, because what I was told was a lot of those things that we thought were RPOs were called runs, called passes that just had the action in there, right, either to hold the defense or because it was a rhythm thing. You know, it's like,
right,
all these things go together, and yeah, a guy hits a certain landmark because the quarterback is giving the faking the read or whatever. You know, it's just, so all those things were, they may have looked to the naked eye like RPOs. They were more, but off of those concepts, the routes were what the routes were, and now defenses can adjust more inside leverage, more jamming the guys in the line of scrimmage, not letting. Which game was it? There was a game early on where, maybe Minnesota, because they lost the Minnesota game last year, and somebody like comes up, I forget who it was, had to be Xavier Rhodes, gets up in Alshon Jeffrey's face, snap one. And his entire goal was, I'm in your face, you're not getting inside me, and I'm giving you a jam off the line to set the tone for the rest of the game of, we're not going to give you that quick slam. And somebody, a good defensive mind, had said, that's some of the things that I'm seeing to take away some of those quick rhythm things.
Right.
Whether they're RPOs or not RPOs, whatever. Right. Whether they're not
disruptor
real reading,
timing, yeah, yeah.
Everything was a little bit off, and I just never quite hit that. Now listen. The Dallas game, when they led the comeback and didn't end so well, who knows? Maybe if Carson Wentz continues to play last year, doesn't have the back thing, we do see them start to click down the stretch and become that team and that offense that we saw with him there versus with Nick Foles. I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. So, Mikey, what do you hear about the Joe Douglas thing, the Jets and courting Joe? Is there something real serious there? I mean, obviously the relationship with Gase.
By the time the thing hits and you start checking on it around the league, saying, all right, let's check in with all the guys that are the candidates or connections to Gase, and all of them are saying, nah, we're already here and done deal. I had somebody today semi-connected to Joe kind of pump the brakes on that and say, don't assume done deal. Now listen, whatever you say, it's a done deal and it gets reported that way, especially because you've got to go through the process of doing the Rooney Rule minority interview. It's usually, hey, it's a done deal. And then the next thing you hear is, oh, it's not a done deal. It comes out via back channels. So I got a little bit of that today. I don't know how much to truly put into there. But, you know, listen, he's certainly a legitimate candidate. It's going to be up to him. I know he's a family guy. They live across the bridge in Jersey. They got a good setup with a couple with the kids. One daughter's in high school. So I wonder how much the familial stuff will factor in and say, you know, A, let's stay put because we like where we are and let's wait for maybe a better opportunity, number one. Or number two, let's take this job because it's actually not that far from where we are right now. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't talked to Joe. I don't know how he's looking at that right now. But, he's certainly leading the pack as far as what the Jets would want in this case.
And yeah, presumably you would lose Andy White all too, because those two are attached to the hip.
I've kind of heard that. Now the Jets fired their number one and number two. I mean, they fired Brian Heimerdinger yesterday. And my understanding was it was because, well, Mike McCagnan was getting blown out, so we're just going to blow out his number two as well. I don't know if they in their minds had, okay, here's a guy coming who's going to bring a guy, whether it's Joe and Wydell or some of these other guys. But listen, you'll see multiple interviews. This will take its time, at least for the impression that it wasn't a done deal
before this thing was done.
But listen, that's certainly been everything I'm hearing from other guys around the league as well.
All right, brother. Listen, now you just in closing, you have the Eagle in the Mikey G Little Cuz power rankings. Are way too early to talk about. You have the Eagles in the NFC as what? Top three?
Oh, sure. Top three. Absolutely.
You're
hell
bullish.
You couldn't put them top three.
Okay, all right. You're bullish.
Am I bullish or am I, what do they call that when it's not neither bull nor bear? Hold your position, Anthony. Right. Hold.
Okay. All right, I got it. Mikey, love you, buddy. How's the baby?
She's good. She's raising hell. Just, you know.
Good.
She's a piece of work like her mother.
That's good. All right, listen, happy Father's Day in June next month. And
thank you,
and tell her Uncle Aunt was asking for her, all right?
You got it. She's on the other side of this door. As soon as I open it, you'll hear a scream coming.
Good. I love it. Keep talking. All right. Love you.
Yeah. See
you,
buddy. At 4:45 this morning, brother.
That's it, man. That's what they do. Welcome to the club. All right, buddy. I'll see you. Mike Garofalo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.